The Orange Catholic Foundation is pleased to bring you the following Father Spitzer homily.
Today's first reading from the letter of James is sometimes rather difficult to hear. Obviously, Luther didn't like hearing it at all, and in many ways rejected sort of the very harsh tone that seems to kind of issue from James's mouth. I mean, he's very frank. And, almost in a way, the opposite rhetorically of St. Paul. Yet at the same time, I plead for all of us, including myself, because, sometimes I look at that and I go, oh my gosh, to give James a chance. Because James is the head of the Jerusalem church. And so he's really speaking to a Jewish audience who is very accustomed to listening to lessons of Torah, right? Lessons of the law, right? And so, sort of that high degree of exhortation and admonishing people to do the good, to respect Torah, to live according to Torah. He has elevated it to respect the teachings of Christ, live according to the teachings of Christ, right? It's sort of almost black and white. He just puts it out there in this very starkly Jewish way. It's got almost a Pharisaical ring to it, honestly, and yet at the same time, it's definitively Christian. Now, of course, this stands, as Luther pointed out all too well, and so did the Council of Trent in response to Luther. They all agreed in one point. St. Paul's rhetoric is a very different kind of rhetoric, right? It's a rhetoric of conviction. It's a rhetoric of logic. It's a rhetoric that's trying to convince people to move more closely to Christ. It's a rhetoric that is focused on the interior attitudes, which was Jesus's whole emphasis, right? If we get the Beatitudes down, gentle-heartedness, right, which is the same thing as meek, humble-heartedness, which is the same thing as poor in spirit, right, being zealous for souls, right, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, mercy, which of course includes compassion and forgiveness of others. If we get the interior attitudes right, then out from us will come behaviors that correspond to those interior attitudes of purification of the soul. James, though, being a good Jewish rhetorician, focuses right in on the behaviors. I mean, like an Exocet missile. And because he does that, right, and he, almost in this tone, you got to do it or you're it's curtains for you, right? And almost, that kind of inducing of fear, kind of a rhetoric, right, that is part of the the Jewish teaching program before Jesus. Because of that, a lot of people get turned off by him. But I think the way to read James is that he is giving me a challenge to stay on the road. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, he puts it so starkly, and he's trying to really exhort us to do this. I basically, I don't take it, as, oh my gosh, if I fail, I'm doomed, right? That's the wrong way to read James. I don't let it kind of induce a kind of a fear, that I'm just not living up to things, I'm not serving the poor enough, I'm not doing X, Y, Z enough, I don't look at it that way. I just look at it as a challenge to me to, if I can do better, to try to do better. The idea of trying to be perfect, right, can be the worst enemy of the good. I think everyone here knows that cliche. The main thing we want to do is not to become perfect. It's not to go out, and become overnight, Peter Claver, but it's to try within the scope of our lives to respond to those issues that we can so easily ignore in a society where people's materialistic needs are taken care of by church organizations, Catholic charities, governmental organizations, all kinds of nonprofit organizations that are around us. And so we forget that, we need to take care of people, on all kinds of levels. So when I hear these challenges of James, I say, okay, can I do better in trying to meet the temporal needs of somebody? Even if it's just seeing a beggar on the road or somebody who's down and out. Can I do better in trying to help people who just are almost spiritually destitute? They have nothing. Can I do better in serving those people? Can I do better, when somebody gives me a call after watching Father Spitzer's Universe television program or something and just gets a crazy question, It's just, and you just go, can I do better in serving that person who really needs that question answered, but you're kind of looking at it and going, okay, do I want to spend time on this right now, and so forth and so on. How do I balance these things and so forth? And I think what James does for me is he puts me into a creative tension, where I got to challenge myself to do better. And so I don't avoid hearing, the word of James. I don't get into rejection mode, or I don't get into a fear mode. I don't get into I'll never live up to the expectations of God mode. I'm never going to be, I don't look at it that way at all. I just look at it as a challenge. Can I do better at what James is talking about? Just a little better? If so, Lord, help me to do that. If I could do a little better there. And that just puts a whole new picture on James. He's kind of that guy who's going to be the gadfly. He's going to poke you. He's like my Jewish dissertation director, Dr. Paul Weiss, who I remember with great fondness. And of course, he's always telling me, all these lessons, but they'd be just stark and blunt, Kid, don't lead with your chin. Somebody's going to hit it. Or kid, he'd say, your rhetoric is too forceful. First, you hit your opponents, then you knock them down, then you jump on them and bite them. You can avoid this. You just do it in a polished way. And of course, I look at that and I go, those challenges, they're not bad. They're really pretty good if we take them in the right spirit to just try and make the improvement, to do what we can and avoid perfection becoming the enemy of the good. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to another podcast brought to you by the Orange Catholic Foundation.